Making a Ruby Laser, Part 2, by Dr. Mike Finley. Image. A ruby rod lit by two bright blue LEDs. Due to the IR filter in my camera, the pink color is actually red. What you are seeing is the absorption of the blue light and the fluorescence of the ruby in red. The rod is 70 millimeters in length. Image. Inside the laser box. Components are as follows. A. Main control board. Initiates laser firing and monitors the charge in the capacitors. Just the dock being fancy. You could replace this board with a switch and a voltage meter. Below this board are a modified mains transformer to generate the high voltage for the capacitors and a 12-volt CPU cooler fan. B. Interlock relay and discharge resistors. Normally closed wired. If the electricity fails, the capacitors will be safely discharged. C. High tension control board. Provides power to the ignition transformer, right, to ionize the xenon gas in the flash tube. If you look closely, left side of the board, you can just make out a small metal can. For the geeks out there, that's a germanium transistor. Hitachi 2SB77. From a late 1960s TV set. Paying homage to the laser's era. D. Fallage, low ESR, capacitors. They're rated at 360 volts 1500 UF, measure 1600, but you can push them to 400 volts, although I've only managed to charge them to about 385. Wired in parallel series, they can deliver a peak voltage of around 740 volts. Deadly. E. Flash lamp and ruby rod in the bottom half of their reflective housing. F. OC, output coupler, mirror mount. If you look between B and C, you can see the HR, highly reflective, mount and mirror. The overall length of the laser is 18 inches. Ruby, flash tube and mirrors. All lasers need a lessing medium or gain medium. This can be a gas, liquid or a solid. In the case of a ruby laser, it's synthetic ruby of a very high purity. Ruby is in fact sapphire with a tiny amount of chromium added that gives it its pink, red color. Ruby laser crystals are grown and machined into cylinders with the end faces highly polished. There are generally two varieties for laser use, 0.03% and 0.05% trivalent chromium doping, which creates a pink ruby. Only the chromium ions lace. The aluminium and oxygen atoms of the sapphire play no part. They simply support the chromium atoms. Image. Ruby rod. In the above photo, the top rod has a 0.05% doping and the bottom 0.03%. Scales are in centimeters. Interestingly, the top rod's end faces have been damaged. A few chips and scratch marks. I obtained them from eBay but purchased the damaged one for half the price of the other rod. Both rods lace perfectly. Also note the clear ends of the bottom rod. Showing that there are no chromium atoms, just clear sapphire. Image. Flash tube. The flash tube took 3 attempts to get right. First I tried 2 100 joule camera lamps. No laser action. Then I ordered a few IMP80 Russian lamps, but they seemed to have an optical coating and they didn't work. Finally, I got a hold of 3 INF800, again Russian, tubes, above photo. No visible optical coating, good, and the ruby laces beautifully with them. The problem is the sheer size of them. Nearly a foot long and they only just about fit into the case. If you look at the photo of the inside of the laser, you can see how close the ends of the flash tube are to the two mirror mounts. About 5 millimeters play. Image. Mirrors. Above photo, mirrors. Yes, they really are. Dielectric mirrors tuned to specific wavelengths. Left, a broadband HR mirror. Right, a 694 nanometers ruby laser OC mirror. 50% reflective. A ruby laser OC is very hard to obtain. See the link at the end of the article. The two mirrors form an optical cavity to provide positive feedback. All oscillators need positive feedback. I suppose that a simple analogy would be gravity acting on a pendulum in a clock, or the potential energy stored in the spring of a balance wheel in a watch. Helium, neon, and ruby lasers in action. Here's a photo of my 2 milliwatts 632.8 nanometers, 6,328 angstroms, HeNe laser. A 2-second exposure at f4.5 over a distance of about 6 feet. It was a very humid and thundery night, and so scattered the beam beautifully. The speckles are dust particles falling through the beam. The helium glows a bright pink, and it's what is illuminating most of the room. The Doc's brandy glass is visible at the top left. The reflected beam is from a ceramic cooker top. I'll come back to the HeNe laser when I write about mirror alignment. Image. Laser in action 1. And now what you've been waiting patiently for, the money shot. The ruby laser firing at about a 380 joule flash over a distance of 4 feet. A 2-second exposure at f10 and an ISO of 400. The laser beam lasts for about 1/1000th of a second, 1 millisecond. The 6,943 angstrom light is a much deeper red than that of the HeNe. In fact, we are at the very long end of the visible spectrum. Once we get to 7,000 angstrom, we are moving into the infrared. I've added some participating media to make the beam visible, in the form of a rolled-up paper kitchen towel, and then I set fire to it. Stinks the place up, but one must suffer for one's art. Image. Laser in action 2. If you look closely, you will see blue will-o'-the-wisps around the ruby beam. This is the light from the flash lamp being scattered by the smoke. It makes for a quite beautiful effect. There's a black cardboard screen, obviously with a hole in it, in front of the laser to reduce flash glare and improve the contrast. To put the energy of that beam into some sort of context, we can easily assume a power of 100 millijoules, 0.1J. That would equate to around 100 watts, 1ms time frame, making it 50,000 times as powerful as the HeNe beam at 2 milliwatts in 1 second. Copyright Dr. Mike Finley 2018.